May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Good morning. A couple of weeks ago, I was able to get away for the weekend with a couple of my close friends. We stayed at a cabin near Boone with no internet or cell phone reception. We tried to make our way up there once or twice a year. I love these opportunities to disconnect in large part because I am so notoriously bad at putting my phone down on my own in daily life. So that Saturday, we went for a hike at a place called Elk Knob, climbing switchback after switchback until we reached the lookout. And as we looked out at the Blue Ridge Mountains, I remembered that I was celebrating an anniversary that weekend, an anniversary I tend to forget. On March 20th, 24 years ago, my family arrived in Portland, Oregon for the first time. We were brand new immigrants in the United States. We set foot on what would become my second home, the great, gray, rainy Pacific Northwest, on the first day of spring in 1998. For a moment, I was transported back to one of the most significant transitions of my whole life. No event has had as much an impact on my immediate family and the life that we have built here than that. There is a before that moment, and there is an after. It cleaved my life in two, the person I was and the person I've become. Our psalm this morning reads, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then we were like those who dream." The psalm is rooted in the Israelites' experience of Babylonian exile, a moment that cleaved their national life and identity in two, the people they were and the people they would become. Now, let me backtrack here and give you a bit of context. The Psalms are the Bible's very own hymnal, 150 chapters containing poetry and song written over hundreds of years. The Hebrew title Tehillim literally means praises. The word is related to the root word behind that notorious A word we tend to avoid during the season of Lent, the one that comes at the end of our service after thanks be to God. I trust I don't have to say more for you to figure out what that word is. Because these psalms were written over hundreds of years, it is often difficult to date the psalms to a specific historical event. We have good reason to believe, however, that today's psalm is an exception. Psalm 126 is among just over a dozen psalms known as the Songs of Ascent, songs for pilgrims on their way to the temple on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And with a remarkable economy of words, Psalm 126 gestures toward a catastrophic event that required Zion's restoration to make pilgrimage possible, the Babylonian exile. There is a before this event, and then there is an after. You can witness its mark on practically every book of Scripture, shaping and reshaping Israelite memory as the people continued to hope for their future redemption. Now, Scripture isn't the only thing that can help us understand such tragedy, of course. We, too, have witnessed our own befores and afters, whether personal or otherwise. Cataclysmic events that turn you and your family's life upside down. A diagnosis that reverberated through every nook and cranny of your home, sending shockwaves through every relationship you knew. A violence done to you or to a loved one that shook you to your very core. Currently, more than 4 million Ukrainian citizens know the pain of such tragedy. having fled their homes since the beginning of the war just a few short weeks ago. For reference, 4 million is roughly the size of the state of Oklahoma's entire population. It is as if every resident in Oklahoma had to leave their home and go somewhere else. They have fled with the clothes on their back and maybe a couple prized possessions, children with their favorite stuffed animal, parents clinging tightly to their phones, their only means of connection to news about their loved ones back home, their only resource as they try to navigate their options as strangers in strange lands. Some Russian citizens have fled too, fearing for their loved ones as a repressive regime cracks down on the few remnants of opposition. And in the face of this moment, these exiles stand between memory and hope, looking back at a bygone world, looking forward to a future shrouded in peril and mystery. They are not alone either. They join millions of other displaced peoples across the globe. These people hope, much like the exiles of the Old Testament, for water courses in dry, parched places. They long for a time when their mouths will once again be filled with laughter, a time when they will once again shout with joy in their own hometown. Now, let me return for a moment to Psalm 126. There is actually something strange afoot in the way that people translate the first verse. The version printed in our bulletin today reads, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then we were like those who dream." When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. But an alternate translation is also possible. When the Lord restores the fortunes of Zion, we should be like dreamers. Did the Lord restore Zion, or is that event still yet to come? The verb tense isn't clear. We do not know whether the psalmist is celebrating an accomplishment or painting a picture about what has yet to take place. And this dual reality is at play each time we gather for church. Sunday after Sunday, we stand between these two worlds, celebrating what God has done for us, and yet mindful of the fact that we have yet to arrive at our final redemption. We admit as much every time we celebrate communion. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lent is also one of these seasons where we stand in between the world as it is and the world as it should be. And the question before us, the people who stand between these times, is simply this. Will we succumb to inertia, apathy, and hopelessness? Or will we work toward a vision of what we could yet become? I sure hope we will do everything in our power to be and to do the latter. I hope in the words of Isaiah and Luke's gospel that we will preach good news to the poor, release to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind. I hope we will do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly. I hope we will welcome the stranger and bind up the brokenhearted. I hope for all these things because I know our final restoration is impossible without them at the table. I hope for all these things because I believe, because I know deep in my bones that a future filled with joy and laughter is possible. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses of the Negev. Help those who sow with tears reap with songs of joy. Amen.